gonna do without our children? What are we gonna do to show we care? How are we gonna be there for our children when they feel that life has just not been that fair?
Good evening and welcome back to Family Matters, MASC's weekly radio show. MASC, Mothers and Fathers, Aligned, Saving Kids, kids of all ages, all stages, prevention of all mental health issues, whether it's addiction, drugs, alcohol, gambling, internet addiction, or any mental health issue such as anxiety, depression, bipolar, schizophrenia, eating disorders, you need a referral, you're looking for information for your loved one, a support group, call our confidential helpline at 718-758-0400. Again, maybe you want to write it down for yourself, a loved one, maybe it's for your neighbor or someone you sit next to in shul. Our confidential number is 718-758-0400. So tonight I have two guests with me. My first guest actually is an intern from Wurzweiler, first year student, and her name is Leah Hyman, and she is in MASC's office 3 days a week and in a school in a boys' yeshiva, little boys, helping them learn to communicate, learn to talk about feelings, and she works on a prevention program. And the reason that Leah's joining us tonight is we wanted to talk about the MASC Shabbaton that we held, our second Shabbaton, which was on October the 26th and 27th. And the Shabbaton was in Flatbush at the Voretsky Hall on Coney Island Avenue and Avenue L. And it was Friday night, the Seuda, Shabbos lunch Seuda, and Shalosh Seudot. Welcome, Leah. Thanks for being on with us tonight. Leah, what was your experience? It was your first experience being with parents. It's different than being in a prevention program in a school with little children, first, second, fifth grade. What was it, your experience being with a room of over 110 very brave parents? How did you feel about it?
So firstly, the way you put it, that they were a room full of very brave parents, couldn't have been said any more perfect. There was a tremendous feeling in the room watching the parents' faces as they came in with so much pain and so much trouble and sorrow really coming into Shabbos, and you were able to feel it as watching the woman from the most religious, we had Hasidish women, Hasidish men, to all the way to modern moms and dads lighting the candles, and you see the pain and the concentration that they were putting into their prayers as they were lighting the candles. It was something that you could feel in the room. And then as we went into the davening, Myriv, and the singing that was going on, there was a feeling in the room you were able to feel of power in the numbers when all the parents came together, and there was just an understanding in the room that we're equal. There's no better than the other. There's no shame. There's no embarrassment. We're all dealing with something. And there was just, it was even, I overheard two men discussing between the two of them how they can, in a normal day, they can't speak about the struggles that their children are going through. And here they feel comfortable doing that. And that to me was an insight, because I don't know how often I've thought about the struggle of a parent not being able to feel comfortable to talk about the struggles that their children are going through. And to see how MASC really, really provided that safe place for the parents to be open about it and comfortable, it really gave them power and empowered the parents to be able to then help their children.
You know, parents, it takes a lot of courage for a parent to come out in Flatbush on Coney Island Avenue and Avenue L to sit with other families that are going through the same thing. They didn't know who they were going to meet. They didn't know if a relative would be in the room. They didn't know who was going to be greeting them other than our MASC staff. And it was just amazing. It was amazing. The parents got so much chizuk. It was a Shabbos of only chizuk. Nobody shared their issues. It was more taking the chizuk from the rabbis that spoke, from each other, from the singing. It was just the zmiros. It was just an unbelievable feeling. And yes, Leia, for the interns that were all there, whether it was Shira or Leia or Ava, it was very insightful for them to see the parents where they usually work the kids. It was like opened a whole new world for them, understanding that every child, there are parents that they will be working with. So thank you, Leia, for joining us and for being on tonight with us. And now we have a very, very, very brave mom. I'd like to welcome Sarah. Sarah, good evening. Thank you for being on with us tonight.
Good evening, Rahama, and I'm pleased, and I take big privilege to be a part of this, being a brave mom.
You know, I remember, Sarah, that you called me. It was November 1, and 2001, and I remember you called me asking me for some guidance and referrals for your daughter at the time that was 17 years old. And you mentioned that she was having low self-esteem and some body weight issues. You weren't sure really what was going on with her. So why don't you share with my listeners what made you call, how you felt then in 2001. I mean, we're talking about so many years ago when nobody, you know, spoke openly about it other than MASC then and maybe one other organization. And stigma today is still an issue, but Baruch Hashem, we are all, many organizations are working towards stigma free. So tell us how you felt so many years ago picking up a phone to a helpline, to a stranger, and spilling your guts trying to get your daughter the help she needs then.
Well, Rahama, you know, the history goes back even before that. I would say it was like more so in 1998, where I was doing a lot of research to see what is it that I could do to help my child. And she was 15 years old at the time, and I saw she was struggling. She got stuck. She was, you know, always a, she was tall, very tall. At 11 years old, she was 5'7" already, fully developed. And, you know, people thought she was older, and she had sisters that were pregnant perpetually that were much older than her and, you know, gaining weight, losing weight. And somehow she was always afraid that that's what she's going to look like in her mind as a young child at 15. She never, you know, didn't know where she'd wind up, you know, and because she was already physically very tall at the age of 11, And she went on a healthy, normal diet, and, you know, and then she somehow got stuck somewhere along the way and developed an eating disorder, and was very obvious. And like you said, there was not much around, did a lot of research. I did take her to the best that there was at that time, and the best was not good enough because, you know, she spiraled down anyway. I needed to get her off the streets because eating disorder does a lot of damage psychologically. It just overwhelms you. There's depression. There could be cutting. There could be prostitution, possibly going off fully off the derech, because not necessarily, because your mind, eating disorder plays tricks on your mind. And again, I started doing a tremendous amount of research. Okay, what is it that I could do? And truthfully, at that time, there was nothing in New York. And I did something the most unusual. I actually did research and sent my daughter out of state, cross-country, to a program that was very valued at that time, very well-known. And I felt I needed to save my child, did a lot of research regarding it, and I said, I'm going to save my child. There's nothing here. It doesn't make a difference whether it's kosher, it's not kosher. Her life is at stake. And that's exactly, you know, what we did. And she was out of state for 17 months. I am proud to say she grew through the program. It was an emotional growth program. It was also an educational piece, so they worked on the emotional component, and as well she had completed her high school degree, and she actually achieved the highest achievement award in her scholastic achievement, and she won scholarships to different universities. They worked with her to set boundaries, to grow. It was an amazing program, and she came home, and she came home a new child. During those 17 months, we saw her every 3 months. We flew out to the place that she was at. They worked with us. We had phone conferences on a weekly basis, and they really worked on her, and it wasn't about her religiosity, although she would say that, we were shoving religion down her throat, and it was not. And they said, hey, kid, that's not what your parents are doing. You know, we really got to know them. Oh, take ownership of what's going on for you and your emotional health and well-being. And with that being said, she came home. We went to graduation, and she came home with a contract with us that she needed to work, go to school, and provide for herself. The only thing that we were obligated to give her was room and board and, you know, clothing on her back. Anything else, she had to earn it. And when I say earn it, she got a job. And she did, and she worked very hard at the job. And she went to college. She graduated college with a degree in nutrition. And then she goes, Mom, I can't teach other people how to eat. I could teach them how to study and do other things and wrap it around in a different way. She became a certified trainer and is doing that together with the incorporating a healthy self. She got married. She has four lovely children. She got married actually about 2 years after she graduated from the program, and to a lovely young man. And they have beautiful children, and they have been very matzliach together. Yes, it was a long haul at the very beginning, and there was a lot of mesiras nefesh and a lot of pain. But one of the best things that I could say was the support that I got around me, the supports of my family. My spouse and I were on the same page. We always did everything together. There was no he said, she said, you said, no arguments about anything, and it was a family project, and we were all in there to help our child. She is pride and joy, and when I look at her and she looks at me, and she is so grateful, and we are grateful, and she goes, my experience that I went through made me who I am today, the person who I am today. So there is hope.
Absolutely. There is hope. And you should have continued nachas from her and her beautiful family. Sarah, thank you. You talk about being alone then and coming to the mass meetings. What was that like? You know, not always did husbands come. Your husband attended. What was it like for you with family members, extended, you know, did you make excuses where your daughter is, her friends? Can you talk a little bit about yourself and what the struggle was then about taking off your mask?
Well, you know, it's, you know, they say sometimes the shoemaker goes around with torn shoes, or, you know, you have that fear, you don't want to tell anybody or anything, but for me, it was really reaching out, and I think reaching out and having that support, it was uncomfortable. It's like going to a doctor and having a discomfort of an examination, or saying, oh my gosh, maybe this is something. But when you need professional help, you seek the professional. You know, we go to a rabbi to ask for a rabbi for certain things, but then we're not looking to the rabbi to help us with our mental health issues. So, you know, knowing that mask was there and being able that they were able to give me support and give me some guidance and being there, I was grateful there was something there in the community, something that was there, because very little was known at that time about eating disorders.
Yeah, and we have with us tonight a very courageous mom. Her name is Sarah, and she is sharing with our listeners all about her daughter when she called MASC back in November of 2001, when her daughter was 17 years old, for those that are just coming in now. Sarah, how did your children react to her when, you know, they say sometimes parents are all wound up with their child that's either doing the most negative behaviors? You were very involved with getting your daughter. You were a very involved parent, you and your husband together. Like you said, I remember how easy it was for us to work with both of you because you were both always on the same page. But were any of your kids embarrassed, or friends say to them, where's your sister? You know, she hasn't been around. You had Simchas. Can you talk a little bit about the children, the other children? Please.
That's a very interesting question that you're presenting. I could actually say, at the beginning, the older children that were out and married already, they go to them, it was like, what did you do? What did you do different? Like, almost like blaming that there was something that Tati and I did something wrong. And, you know, then really sitting down and explaining that it's not that what Tati and I, it's this individual, this child is not like the rest of you. And coming to an understanding that each one is an individual, although you're raised in the same house, each one has different feelings, different emotions. You could all sit at the same table and hear a conversation going on. And each one of you as children pick up something else. And so too, this child was different than the others. She was emotionally different wired. She was physically wired differently. Everything was different. And, you know, till today, she is different, but she's so unique that she's so lovable and that she's there for others, to help others and to, for both emotional growth and whatever else that she herself has gone through has made her a better person. So, you know what, at all the children, they are all close, and it's like it never happened. You just move on. But it was difficult at the beginning for them, for the older ones, the ones out of the house, to have an understanding of what was going on for her, and it was about her, and it wasn't about what Tati and I did. It's how about, let's look at the family nucleus, and let's look what's going on within the family, and learning to accept her, and let's do the best that we could do for her.
So, you know, in recent years, there's been a lot of talk about childhood obesity, and they talk about elementary age kids that go undiagnosed until they become teenagers. Lots of kids that get bullied in school, they quietly, you know, become bulimic after meals. They run to the bathroom. They're throwing up. All bulimic-like behaviors go on. And it's under half of elementary age kids go undiagnosed about having an eating disorder. And that's a lot of kids, half. So we all need to recognize that an eating disorder just could start at a very young age. We need to refocus ourselves from adolescence, where we used to be trained that it's at an adolescent, you know, suddenly developing, their body's changing, and they're becoming teenagers, and they want to look good, etc. We have to realize the undiagnosed kids, which is very young age kids that are being reported. Now, I'm wondering, was your daughter bullied? Because I don't remember that. Was she bullied at all at any time?
Actually, yes. Actually, Rahama, yes. You have to remember, I told you that at 11 years old, she was 5'7", fully developed, and a tall, big girl.
Right.
And I remember when she was, even before that, and she was in camp, and they were rowing, and she called me hysterical, crying. She goes, "The girls tell me to get off the boat because I'm weighing it down." Of course she was bullied, and of course comments were made as such, and, you know, very, you know, hurtful comments. And she would, you know, we would talk about it, and I remember being actually, I personally remember being in shul with her for a simcha, and she was sitting next to me, and an adult I heard made a comment about her. And I, if I heard it, that meant my child heard it. And someone else who knew me very well said, "She's only 11 years old." You know, that's so not nice for what you're saying. I heard that. But, you know, my child heard the other piece of it, too, the comment. So it's, yes, they are bullied. And I could actually say, Rahama, I was a big girl growing up, and you, when I think back, I was bullied too, but you know what? It went over my head. It didn't affect me. But there are those that it does affect.
Right. I usually give the example, I come from Baruch Hashem, a very large family, and I remember that, you know, Motzei Yom Kippur, everybody drank a cup of oranges, and one person out of 10 would get a headache from the orange juice. So everybody would say, "What do you mean? We just had it. We're not getting a headache." You know what? Everybody's wired differently. Everybody's made up differently. And like you said, you could all sit at the same table, and one out of 10 could be different. And for your daughter, what she was struggling with, whether it's being taller than the others, whether she was bullied, whether she had underlying depression, we don't know what it is. That it's not one thing usually. So that is why we suggest that families, when you see that your child is getting bullied, don't make small of it. It is something that you need to take very serious, because it goes with them as they grow up. So they may not be acting out when they're going to be 7 or 11, but as they're growing up, things do happen and change, and it still sticks with them, the pain of being bullied or whatever trauma they may have gone through, and that could cause them to have a disordered eating pattern or other things. There are kids that are bullied that we have on our helpline that do drugs and alcohol to self-medicate. And there are many other things that go on, but I'm just saying we must recognize early on, elementary age. Let's not wait until they're in ninth grade and they're saying now, you know, "Oh, I don't want to eat, I want to be skinny." There may be more to it. So have the conversation with your children so that you can recognize whether or not there's an underlying issue. Mom, what would you like to say, Sarah, to our listeners, before we sign off, a message of how times have changed. You know, you help people. We have sent people to you to speak to you, to get courage to go and get the right help. What message do you want to leave my listeners with tonight?
Times have changed. Never give up. Always be there for your child and do research, 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 and always ask for help and see where it is that you could send your child and what you could do and get help. And never give up because there is hope.
Right. And here, right above the desks of my staff that answers the helpline from 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. is a large sign that says, never, never, never give up. And at MASC, we believe that mothers and fathers align saving kids. It takes a mother and a father, sometimes a divorce, sometimes there's only one parent. When there are both parents or a divorced family, we service both. We have support groups for parents who can sit in the same room, who can sit in the same room. We're here for your families. The single parent family, we're here for you. My extended family did an event. We co-sponsored, one of the sponsors of the event, with Madrigos just the other night. And it was about single parent families. We're here for Samchenu families. We're here for the Amanas. If anyone needs a referral, feel free to call anonymously. Call our confidential helpline, 718-758-0400. We will give you names of rehabs, therapists, rabbis, doctors, social workers, whatever it is that you may need that we can try and help you, and names of other organizations that work with these issues, all mental health issues. Call us anonymously and we will connect you. Sarah, thank you for being so brave and being gone with us tonight.
You're welcome, Rahama, and be matzliach and all the good that you do to help the community.
Amen. Thank you. And I'd like to wish everybody a very good evening and a wonderful Shabbos. And like Sarah said, never, never, never give up. Hang in. Hold on. Hug tight. Thank you. And good night.
At your Hanukkah party, share family memories. Everything Audio will convert all the old video cassettes and movie reels you have lying around to digital format, preserving your memories forever. The staff at Everything Audio are experts in transferring and editing your old footage so you look good. Do your listeners still do CDs or DVDs? They also do disc production. Call them at 718-438-3451 and take 20% off before November 23rd. They're located at 1358 41st Street in Borough Park. Everything Audio. They're the real thing. Call them at 718-438-3451 for your 20% pre-Hanukkah discount.
If you're looking to get away at a very affordable price without compromising quality, then Destination by Yossi Zablocki's Quality Kosher Cruises is for you. They provide four fresh glatt kosher meals daily, Chalav Yisrael, they have daily minyanim, and they set sail to the Western Mediterranean, to Venice and the Greek Isles, to the Caribbean. And the next cruise is Panama Canal, January 16th, Alaska in the summer. So what are you waiting for? And also Destination 613 is asking you to get ready for Pesach in the Catskill. They provide early bird rates. They have Mar Chametz of K Caterers, Dovin Shani Hiking, Paint Nights, Steam Nights, Deluxe, elaborate tea rooms, exciting day camp, teen excursions. So for cruising and for Pesach reservations, call Destination 613 at 845-794-6000, 845-794-6000. You can email them at destination613@yahoo.com.
Did you ever consider hosting your own radio or television show? We can help you get on the air. Talkline Communications works with broadcasters as well as with TV and radio stations in New York and nationwide that lease time, all at competitive rates. We work with doctors, lawyers, and other professionals, as well as with ethnic broadcasters. For more information about hosting your own radio or TV show, please call 212-769-1925. 212-769-1925. And out of New York, call 1-866-MY-TV-SHOW. That's 1-866-MY-TV-SHOW.